This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It didn't even dawn on me that if I was a compliant patient and would have worn my compression garments, how much of an impact I could have had for the community, which is over 10 million Americans. Some people would say, I would not trade places for you in a minute. But knowing that there's something much more beautiful on the horizon, and that's the hope that I cling on to, it makes going through this so much easier.
Let's take a breath. Hey guys, I'm Sydney Lutwako, and welcome to Something to Share. Every Wednesday, I sit down with people you may have seen on your TV screens, experts in their fields, or just people I find inspirational so that they have a platform to dive into the things that they really want to talk about. We all have something to share, something that we're going through, and something that we need to hear. So let's get started. Hi guys, welcome back to the podcast. Thank you for being here. Thank you for pressing play. If you are new, welcome to Something to Share. If you're returning, good to see you again. So I'm excited about today's guest, as I always am, but he is an old friend from Bachelor Nation. He and I were on Paradise together. We have Cam Ayala on the podcast. He was from Hannah Brown's season of The Bachelorette. He was best known on the show for being ABC Cam, for being kind of outspoken, and especially in Bachelorette, somewhat rub people the wrong way. It just goes to show that editing and how they portray you on the show makes a huge difference for how people view you. From the audience perspective, even from other members in the house, there's a lot of factors that go into how you were actually portrayed on the show more than just who you are as a person. So there's so many elements that go into making The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. And I think when you're watching it, you don't really think about all of the things that are happening behind the scenes that can sway how you view people or how you take people in. And I've just noticed from watching people myself on TV or watching other seasons and then going and meeting those people in person, it's a lot different. There's way more sides to people than what you see through a screen or through an hour of television once a week. So I find it really interesting. And Cam and I got to know each other somewhat in Paradise, but definitely not as well as we did on this conversation. So I found it really refreshing and really nice to get to speak with him in this way. He also is known for having lymphedema, which I'll let him explain to you exactly what that is. It's a pretty common disease, which I learned from Cam, which a lot of people can be born with or can develop later in life from other elements like having breast cancer or things that can happen that can affect your lymph nodes. So Cam was born with it. He was diagnosed with it at age 11. So it's always been a part of his life. I don't remember him really talking about it that often in Paradise. So I didn't really get the full spectrum of what it is that he had. And I was watching a video the other day. As I was flipping through my phone, a video of Cam showed up. It was about his recent amputation. He got one of his legs amputated that was affected by lymphedema. Watching the video, I could just see how much strength and how much hope he had just by looking at him. I mean, it was only a couple of photos, but you could really feel it from the video that I watched. And it gave me pause. And I was like, I need to reach out to him. I haven't talked to him in so long. And I didn't realize the extent of what his medical case was like, and the show didn't do a good job of explaining that to us. So yeah, I reached out to him. I just told him that I was thinking of him and that I'm really inspired by his strength and what he's gone through and what he continues to overcome and how he is now a voice for this community and for all of the things that he is doing. I did a huge deep dive on his Instagram, and I could just feel a shift in him. And
I find that especially inspiring, especially when you go through something so intense and something so life-changing, to still have that faith and that inspiration and that strength about you, I always just find really incredible. And I wanted to reach out and tell him that, but I also wanted to hear more about his story and whoever's listening to this to also see that other side of him. Because again, I think the show didn't do a good job of showing him fully. And he's also different now. He seems like he's grown up a lot, and he seems that he has this strength and this almost new sense of purpose about him that I really appreciate. From talking to him and from hearing more of his story, I just know there's so much more to come for Cam, and I know that he's going to do so many great things and be such a great voice for this community. So I'm really excited to continue to watch that and see all the things that are going to come from this. So I'm really excited for you guys to listen to this episode. We go through a lot, whether that's from his experience on Bachelor and how they represented him, to him being villainized, to his disease and his amputation and the steps that are having to be taken after that for his recovery and all that he's doing with the lymphedema community. I think this is a really beautiful and powerful episode. So definitely share it with a friend or a fan of the show or anything like that, because we get into a lot today and I'm really happy that we got to sit down and have this really beautiful conversation. So I think this one is definitely really special. So thank you, Cam, for being so open and sharing your story and for being such a light for your community and for people online, because we need more people like that that are going to spread that light and that inspiration on the internet. We need it. So my something to share today, I guess it's from talking to people like Cam and getting all this inspiration and seeing a different side of him that I didn't necessarily see when I first met him on the beach, is that reminder that you never really know what someone's going through. He even said himself that he didn't really wear his compression sleeve and things that you're supposed to wear, I guess, to help support your lymphedema or help that chronic pain or things that he was going through. And it wasn't something that I think a lot of us were aware of. And it's just a good reminder that you really truly never know what people may be going through, whether they're going through something in their family or with their friends or with work, or honestly, anyone that you see on the street could be going through something. So it's just another reminder to never pass judgment or to look down upon people. Not saying that anyone has done that, but it's just a good reminder to, you know, just be nice. Again, you never know what someone's going through. And even if you are going through something yourself, it's a good practice to try and be kind to those people, even when you're feeling down or when you don't feel like it, because it's that reverberation effect that the way you treat others will affect the way that others treat you. That golden rule. For me, it's a good reminder to continue to try and spread light and happiness and kindness wherever I can, no matter what it is I'm going through or what it is that I'm experiencing. It's just a good reminder that we got to be nice. Nice to ourselves, how we talk to ourselves, and also nice to the people that we see on the street. Today's world is really crazy, and there's a lot of really shitty things going on in the world, but I want to continue to try to find that goodness and that inspiration and the light where a lot of times it feels like it doesn't exist or it's very difficult to find. I want to continue to always search for it and never lose hope that that light is there, that there are good people in the world, and how you treat them and what you put out into the world does matter. So that is my reminder today for myself and for anyone else out in the world that needs it. I hope that you're well. I hope that you enjoy this episode with Cam. Again, I really enjoyed this one, and I hope that you share it with someone. Before you go, please write a 5-star review to help me grow this podcast and the message and get it out into the world for the people who need to hear it. Also, if you want to tag me or Cam on social media, I'll link everything below. If you share the episode, I would love for you to tag us so we can repost you. Without further ado, guys, here is Cam. I know, it's been like years. It's crazy.
Like going on like 3.
In a way, it feels like it was yesterday. And then another way, it does feel like it's been 3-4 years or however long it's been now. It's
wild. 3 hard years, probably for the both of us. I mean, ups and downs, right? Not all sadness. I want to make that clear. But we all took a licking in those 3 years, gosh.
Yeah, I think it was a big growing up year, or a couple of years, if you would agree. I mean, for you, for sure. Definitely a lot of changes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very impressed and I want to talk through everything with you. But I wanted to ask you some initial questions just so we can jump in, be on the same page. This podcast is all about sharing. And I ask people to share an object. So either from your nightstand, something that's surprising or something with an interesting backstory. So when I say that, anything that comes to mind for you, Cam?
Okay. Mm-hmm. What I was going to bring to the table was, it was a bottle top to a bottle of Di Serono. And that was that was from when I was on Paradise with you. And it was basically the day that I knew I was going to get eliminated because Kaylin and Dean were solid. And at that point, I didn't really have any other side relationships or alliances, even if you will.
Yeah.
So I was like, F it. I'm just going to have fun or whatever. But Wells, he's the one who suggests that, Cam, I bet you can't drink this whole bottle of Di Serono all day.
Is Di Serono alcoholic?
I think it's got 40%. It's like liqueur.
Okay.
Yeah, because a lot of people just do Di Serono on ice, right? Or it can be a good compliment. Bottom line, it's really sweet and not good for you. And so,
I mean, in Paradise, right?
Right, right. At that point, it was no longer Paradise. I had I'd finished the bottle of Di Serono. So I had saved the top from that bottle. That was a little bonding moment with Wells and I. But here's the actual thing that has a cooler side story. This little glass, it's like a little glass cylinder. You put your finger in it or whatever. Uh-huh. So this belongs to a guitarist named Derek Trucks. And that may not ring a bell for you or a lot of your followers. But bottom line, he's one of the greatest actual guitarists alive right now, in the top 10. Right after I got sent home from Paradise on my flight back home to Houston, I had a connector in Jacksonville. And I was getting on the plane and I recognized him and his wife because his wife is part of his band too. And I just said, "Hey, Derek, I'm just a big fan of you and Susan." Just shook their hands and I said, "Take care." The plane lands, and when they get out, and they were in first class. So I was back in, they put us in coach, they're not giving us the.
I know that also blew my mind. High ride there, no high ride home, nothing.
Exactly. So I was the flight of shame, if you will. But so as I'm exiting the plane and going down the little ramp there, he and his wife and their two kids, I didn't know they had kids, were all sitting there and they were waiting for me. And I was looking around and they're "Hey Cam, can we get a picture with you?"
Oh,
and
wow.
My mind was "Holy crap, that's crazy," because I grew up a big fan of his music. My dad took me to see him live when I was 10 years old. When he came to Houston, he and his wife gave my family the whole VIP experience. And at the end of the night, he gave me his little glass slide. That's basically his pick that he used when he plays.
Really? So, uses a glass thing like that? I've never seen that before.
Yeah, so it gives it that slider sound. So it's more common in country music or bluesy music, but everyone's like, "What's that random jar on your nightstand?" So I had to explain that. So that's cool. My weird object. So yeah.
So he was a fan of the show then, or his family was?
Yeah. Well, especially his wife and their two kids. So when they came to Houston, when we saw them live, I'm like, "I want to give the kids something nice." So I actually gave my cheetah shirt that I wore when I entered Paradise to son. Yeah, the cheetah shirt. Everyone's "Do you still have this shirt?" I'm like, "No, I gave it to one of my favorite guitarists' son." It's kind of random, but so he has it now. I think he's 19 or something now. But their daughter, I gave her a picture of the first rose that I had because I snuck a camera in, when we're waiting to be checked in.
You did what?
I snuck a Polaroid camera in because I was going to use it as my night one prop. So I was taking pictures in our hotel room and shit, and I was bored. And after I had the first rose before we even got to the mansion, I took a picture of that. And that's the only thing they didn't confiscate because I had it hidden in a pocket. So I gave her that and whatever. So
that's so cool. I love that you had that experience on your flight home from Paradise because I remember that flight and it's a very depressing flight. And it was nice that you had that little pick me up.
Yeah, because you and I both know, since you had already done Bachelor and I had already done Bachelorette, when you get that send home experience, you just know that you're at the mercy of the producers and the editors of how sad or dramatic they're going to want it to be. And at that point, when you're flying home, you can't do anything about it. It is what it is.
You're just empty by the end.
Exactly.
Literally. Yeah. That is the hardest thing to explain to people, is it's the in-between time where you don't know. And then the anxiety right before you watch it, that's almost the hardest part because you don't really know what to expect. And it's out of your control at that point. Yeah. And then stuff happens and you see it, and then it could go really well or not great, which I know you had a not so great experience as far as editing goes which I definitely want to get into. But second question I ask everyone to break the ice is anything that's on your heart or mind lately. It could be related to what we're going to talk about or just any random thing on your heart or mind.
Great question, because I'm in a very interesting and challenging season of life right now. Just the thing that's at my heart right now is knowing that now I'm in a new community of individuals. So amputees or people with limb differences and limb loss. I don't feel necessarily an obligation to just go full in on that community and try to, you know, be as much of an inspiration as I can. But I am feeling so blessed after having something so tragic happen, how welcoming and loving this community is. And when you're on the other side and you now have a disability and things just like mobility, going to the bathroom or navigating restaurants, like you really, the understanding of how important accessibility is for a lot of these people. So
I was thinking about this before I talked to you, this idea of like taking just like movement and limbs or any basic human thing for granted. And I'm sure you're feeling like the complete opposite side of that now that it's been taken away from you. I can't imagine what that might feel like. It's really nice to hear that you have a community that's been through it. But I mean, even if you are around people that have been through something like that, it still doesn't make it necessarily that much easier because you're still going through this huge transition.
I'm feeling all the feels. We'll get into that too. I'm not holding anything back. I'll tell you that much.
I love that. And I did notice that from, I saw a video of about your lymphedema and how you just recently got an amputation. And it gave me pause, but I did notice a difference. Then I started like looking at your social media and just like, you know, doing a check-in with you on my end. And I saw a huge difference in you from the time that I knew you on the show to just how you're speaking now. And that's just like online, but I can definitely see a change, not only just from like the amputation and the things that you've gone through, but just the way that you're now showing up. I don't know if you feel that, but that's what I kind of gathered from my little deep dive on your Instagram.
Totally heard and understood and appreciated. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Seriously.
Keep doing what you're doing. Before we get into the rest of that, I do want to go back because you and I have a very similar experience because we went on this ridiculous show. I can't have you on here and not talk to you a little bit about your experience. So I'm curious on... I ask this every time anyone from Bachelor or any type of show comes on, like, why did you originally want to go on the show and what brought you even to applying, being asked? What was your story for that?
Interesting enough, I was living in Austin, Texas, and a girl that I had dated pretty seriously for 9 months, which may not be that long of a time, but we moved in together relatively quickly. So she was from Canada, and when her visa was about to expire, she refused to get an immigration attorney like I told her to. But anyway, she goes back to Canada to check in before she was going to come back to the American border and see if they would renew her visa. It was a student visa. So it was a 50-50 shot because she had just graduated. So you're really at the mercy of your border patrol officer, really. She goes back to Canada. And then when she comes back to the Montana border, they deny her, which basically means she was getting deported. So at that point, we had to decide if we were going to get married and have her stay there legally, try to do long distance, or just break up. It's three very different roads, if you will.
A lot of pressure.
So much pressure. And I actually attempted the first one. I told her, I said, look, I really know that this is a tough situation, but like, if you love me like I love you, you know, we can make this work. And I know you won't get the glamorous wedding right out the gate, but this is like a legal thing. We go to the courthouse so you can stay. She basically said, the thought of living with you in a one bedroom gives me anxiety. And that's because we would have had to downsize because she couldn't work until she got her green card.
Yeah. So that's 90 like another, Day Fiance. It's tough.
Oh yeah. I was literally living 90 Day Fiance.
Oh my God.
It was more like 3 months fiance, but still like the pressure was on. I feel that show now, but anyway, so long story short, she got deported and we, you know, decided to part ways. 3 months later, I'm out partying with my buddies in Austin on 6th Street, because that's pretty much where we lived. And I bump into, coincidentally, a bachelorette party. One of the girls that I was like talking to, whatever, vibing and having just good conversation, she basically said she was a casting producer and for reality TV. And I go, what show? And she goes, Beat Shazam. And I'm like, no way. I was almost on that show. That's the one with Jamie Foxx. It's probably not on the air anymore, but you know, the app Shazam where you like play and hear a song or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically it's like you and a partner, you try to literally, they'll play the clip and you have to beat the app and you get like whatever, $1 million. It's kind of lame. Anyway, we started talking and then end of the night goes something like the whole bachelorette casting. And I just kind of shook it off or whatever. So fast forward about 2 months later, they come back into Austin. I met up with her for a happy hour. And I guess she convinced me enough to say, okay, let's do it. And she made a phone call to one of her friends on the inside. And the next day I got a call from the LA area code.
Wow. What a twist of fate.
Rest is history.
Okay. So you're casted. Crazy experience. I know you were diagnosed with lymphedema at age 11, right? That was.
Yep. Yep.
So I'm curious when you went on the show, because I know that your story kind of came out through the show through Hannah's season, but not, they didn't do a great job of representing it. So did you go on in the show with the intentions of, I'm going to share my story, I want to be open? Because I imagine that could be difficult with dating and all that stuff. So what was your like mindset going into it?
For me, it wasn't so much coming up with the strategy. Mm-hmm. It was more like coming up with what is the opportunity to like actually find something real? Because I know the process works. And everyone says, I know it's kind of the cheesy way. Bottom line, I was naive. I'll put it to you that way. And I never really watched much of the past seasons. Like truthfully, the only one I watched a little bit of is like JoJo season, because I knew one of the guys from college in the cast there. But beyond that, I was just kind of a casual, okay, whatever. I didn't really know that it was also going to be a great opportunity if you had a cause or a great story that you wanted to bring awareness to. Because before the show, I wasn't really big on social media. For me, it was a missed opportunity. And I blame myself because I didn't wear my medical grade compression garments like I was supposed to be wearing like all day, every day, because otherwise my leg would swell really bad. So I basically put myself at danger every single day we were out there, especially in Paradise. Like, you know how you had to give me that stretching massage?
Yes, we had a yoga session.
just a quick side note, and I'll bring it back home here. So, but the side note is, I think it was maybe like our fifth or sixth day out there on the beach in Paradise. And I just woke up one morning and my lower back was killing me. Like I felt like really like an old man. And I was literally limping around, and I knew that Sydney was a dancer, and were you a trainer too?
Yeah. Fitness.
Exactly. So I'm like, okay, if someone's going to know how to stretch me, it's going to be her. So, she started to stretch me and she did a great job, and the pain came back. And so they had to take me to the nurse. And so they basically gave me this muscle relaxer that didn't really work, but they said, oh, you can't drink the rest of the day. So I was like, wah, wah. So sore back. And couldn't drink. Anyway, bringing it back to the whole lymphedema awareness thing. So it didn't even dawn on me that if I was a compliant patient and would have worn my compression garments, how much of an impact that could have had for the community, which is over 10 million Americans that not a lot of people know about. So that was my kind of biggest regret and I guess missed opportunity to do that.
But I can see how you approached it too, because I imagine, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, that you are diagnosed with this thing. It's part of your life, but I'm sure you don't want to necessarily define your whole life by it. You still want to live a normal life. So I can see like the turmoil you must have gone through, or like you didn't necessarily think it through fully, because you're like, well, I want to be Cam. I don't want to be like lymphedema Cam. Like I can see both sides of it where like you want to help people and you want to do that as well. But then it's like, do I want my whole experience to be defined by this one thing? So I understand that approach.
I was going to say the other part of it as well is that like with my lymphedema, I did have and still do have obviously a lot of mobility issues, because at that point in the experience, there wasn't any like physical date that I was on. Because as we were getting closer in each, you know, rose ceremony and you get further in the process, it's like, oh crap, I'm going to be on one of those dates where they do like wrestling or mud dive or whatever they do it every season. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I wanted to tell Hannah at that point before I got to one of those dates, because to me, that would have came off as more calculated if I said right there in the moment. So I was like, this is something that's serious in my life and I just got to get this off my chest. And I even told her, I said, look, if we're taking this process like seriously and we truly believe in the sanctity of wedding vows, there's the line that says in sickness and in health. I'm like, truthfully, I have a chronic disease in this leg. I almost had it amputated in 2017. And so I go and I just lay it all out. And obviously that's not how it played back when the episode aired. But when I poured my heart out to Hannah, she was very respectful and shared some personal information with me too. And at that point I felt, okay, now I can like actually be me and not worry about that lingering thing, because she'll be aware of it.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, you know, what happened with the whole Mike Johnson telling her about the pity rose, blah, 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 and being sent home that night, because that was the accusation. And that's how really the true villain character, if you will, was binged.
Yeah. Looking back on that now, I can't believe they did that. It's kind of shocking, especially because I was thinking about the fact that you go into the process, they do the whole like medical analysis. So I'm
they
curious.
They do everything.
They do everything. Like you pee in a cup, you do all the things. They have everything about you. And there's like a doctor that checks in with us. I feel like every few days, I can't remember exactly what the process was, but like
or
with the
every
doctor,
morning, if you needed medication too, she was like there to issue you if you had medication you had to be on.
They're super good about medication. So you would think that if you have this thing that you've, you know, come into the process, I'm sure they didn't not know about it. So I'm just confused why knowing all of that and with a doctor and stuff that they didn't take it more seriously in a way with how they edited you. It's very frustrating.
So just high level, that's a big systemic issue in the healthcare system in general, because lymphedema is, like I said, it impacts over 10 million Americans, which is more than AIDS, MLS, Parkinson's, and muscular dystrophy combined.
That's right? Insane.
Like all of those, but there's not a lot of awareness because when doctors are in their 4 years of medical school, they only have about 30 minutes to an hour on the lymphatic system in their curriculum in 4 years.
That's crazy.
Which means that once they graduate and they start practicing, they were basically given like, okay, if you blink, you're going to miss a whole section on literally a system that we have, a lymphatic system. So we're starting to see more progress in the research side of things. And that's part of what I do for a living. I work for a lymphedema nonprofit. That's probably why, in my estimation, that the doctors for the show just didn't really know how severe it could have been. So I don't blame them. I don't have any ill will towards them on that, but
that's good.
When I was crying like the night before I told Hannah about my lymphedema, I was crying to like three different producers and they were crying with me because like, guys, this is like the thing I'm most self-conscious about. Mm-hmm. And I literally have lost girlfriends in the past when I've had bouts of infection, had to get surgery and had to go through the recovery process. Like I'm about to like basically open up my closet and expose all of my like hidden insecurities, if you will. So, and they're like, this is so brave of you. And you know how they do it. Whatever. Yeah, I'm not, you know how it goes. I'm the mouse. I took the cheese, you know, whatever. And so I go into it and I pour my heart out. And unfortunately the way it gets edited back, it just, that was tough to see something that was so serious to me and to have like literally 3 years of like having to go through like, honestly, that PTSD. Like that's why I unfollow a lot of the Bachelor people, just because like, you know, some of them are, I'm not going to name names. I'm not here to do that, but you see a different world that they're living in. And I just don't like playing the rules of comparison. And it just wasn't a positive experience for me in general. So I try not to stay too involved in it. But at the same time though, I think we all, even if you have somewhat of a bad experience, still have gratitude for the opportunity because look, otherwise you and I wouldn't have been introduced to each other. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that we've had some amazing life stories that have transpired post-show. So I'm counting my blessings on those for sure.
Yeah. It's all about how you look at it because you can feel very negative about the whole thing, but it is a great experience in some way that you can take a little piece of it or you take the whole thing, no matter what it is for each person. But yeah, I'm similar to you where I like to focus on what was positive versus like harping on the negative because you can harp on the negative for years. You got sent home that night by Hannah. That whole thing happened. We've seen it. They had the whole pity rose thing. Could imagine it going one of two ways. Like you're like, this is the thing that I'm most self-conscious about. I finally opened up about it. I did it on this huge scale. And then I got shot down and people didn't believe me. And it got turned into this whole negative thing. I can imagine that you can be like, well, screw it. I'm not talking about it ever again. Like, I'm just going to keep it to myself and wait, but you didn't do that. And I appreciate that. Like, even for the final rose, you wore that t-shirt, which I know that they blurred out, which is still wild to me. So I just want to say, I commend you for having that bravery and not taking that as like, you know, the end all be all, and you're continuing to talk about it.
Thank you. And I'm like just getting overwhelmed with emotion, just taking in the words that you're saying and what it brings back and what it still lingers. And what I don't understand is like, you can manipulate people for just, if they're rude to you, you know, some of our castmates, they weren't the most kind to the handlers, for example. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when you're so kind and polite to everyone in the process, from literally your castmates to your producers, to all the other people behind the scenes, and they still do you wrong like that. And, you know, I get it right now. We're in a time of censorship. And honestly, I believe there are some things that should be censored to a certain degree, but to censor a disease that I cried my eyes out to the producers the night before, and for them to have that knowledge and not say anything and to watch that happen, I mean, that crushed me. But getting to that point of rock bottom was so important, because when you feel like at that moment where you're just literally not even just so much alone, you're just overwhelmed, that you're just kind of stuck and you're still and you're thinking, is this the end, or which path am I going to take? Sometimes it's not clear. But being at that rock bottom, seriously, when I got sent home from all that, knowing all the things with the lymphedema was going to be portrayed negatively, and a lot of people don't want to hear this, but that's when I got close to God again. I really did. I am a man of faith, and now I'm trying to find the balance of like not wanting to be over evangelical to people, because that can be intimidating. It can be off-putting. That's just not my vibe, right? So, but when people ask me questions, like things that are very serious to me, like my lymphedema, I do have to say that I've found the strength to fight, because God has been there with me all along. I just wasn't looking for him. When you feel helpless and you have nowhere else to look, and that's the thing that pulls you through. And that's literally what has me here alive and positive today, even after an amputation 2 weeks ago, is God's grace and mercy. But also my friends and family, I'm not downplaying them. I mean, I am so blessed to have not only the lymphedema community online, which is global, but now to be in the amputee community. And you can't find more accepting, accommodating, and understanding group of individuals. So I'm just so blessed, honestly.
No, yeah, absolutely. And I like that you talk about it. And I can see how it's like towing a line sometimes, depending on who you're talking to. But I do find it very inspiring, not only just for you going through what you've gone through, but for you able to still keep that faith and find something that pulled you out of it. I think that's awesome for people to see, because seeing it from like my seat and not going through something so challenging like that, like, I don't know how I would handle it. Like, I don't know if I'd be as strong in like my faith. It's inspiring to see people that are able to do that during very challenging and trying things. So I like that you share it.
When you get to that point of just hopelessness, helplessness, like worst physical, emotional pain you can be in, and you just get that feeling of peace and knowing that's going to be okay, that does happen if you look for it, then, you know, you can't not talk about it. But again, I don't want to be over, you know, crazy guy in the corner with the microphone and the posters, but, you know, I want to listen to people too from all backgrounds, because I mean, that's what Jesus wants. He wants us to love everybody regardless. So that's the path I'm going right now.
I like it. But one more question on that before we move on from it. If someone is looking to dive deeper into their faith, or maybe he's going through something challenging, like what would you tell them? What would you recommend to them to embrace it instead of pushing it away?
Again, fantastic question, because I can totally relate to that question. 2 years ago, so right, I guess, kind of in the thick of COVID, our church has started opening up again, and I'm in Texas. So we were one of the first states that got a little bit more loose, if you will, and on some of the COVID requirements for public meeting and such. So We had a small men's group. We were talking about how, you know, God shows up in different ways. This is what one of the guys at my table at the Bible study said. Say, guys, the way you should think about your relationship with God or Jesus is that almost think of it like it's a bank. There's deposits and withdrawals, right? So if you think about, are you always asking God for something? Are you always withdrawing from him versus depositing, right? Mm-hmm. It should be that balance. And when that analogy became so crystal clear to me that I was withdraw, I was always asking, right? Yeah. I wasn't doing anything intentionally to please him, to have deposits into him. So basically it was off balance. So for someone who's struggling with their faith, I would say, ask those difficult questions, like hold nothing back, because like it's even biblical. God wants you to wrestle with him and your faith, because it's through those deep, authentic questions you're seeking the truth. And if you seek the truth, I think you'll like the answers that you'll find in the very end. And it may take years, right? It's not like a light bulb just goes off. And for some people, great. Like there's a lot of people who have those profound religious experience where it's very like visualizations, whatever the case may be. But yeah, just be patient, but be intent with it. And it's okay again to ask those hard questions.
That's a very good advice. Yeah. Cause it's true. You like always ask for something when you're down or when you need something, but it's like in the happier times you tend to forget to like be grateful.
Exactly.
Or, you know,
and I'm telling you, it's a mentality thing. And I got this from Matthew McConaughey in his Greenlight books, which is amazing. If you haven't read it, it talks about starting out each day with gratitude. And if that's your foundation, that's a good domino effect, right? But if you start off in the morning, you're bitter or you're asking for something, it tends to, you know, snowball. So you kind of got to pick, do you want gratitude or do you want something, you know, to be in constant need that's never going to fulfill you?
I love Matthew McConaughey. Let's talk a little bit about your lymphedema, because I actually didn't like on and off watch Shanna season. So I knew a little bit about your story, but I didn't know the full picture. And I know that you didn't talk about it as much in Paradise, you know, for good reasons because of how you were treated. And so I didn't fully know about it. So I love that you're acting as a voice now for the disease and you're speaking for people who maybe not have a voice in this world. So tell me about the disease and how it works. And for the people who might not know about it, just like a little bit more about lymphedema.
I find every time I get a question kind of in that sense, I try to give as high of an elevator pitch as possible, or really just try to give a good summation. But like, that's the difficult part, because lymphedema and the lymphatic system is so complex, but I'm going to just break it down super high level. So basically, we all have a lymphatic system. It starts in the base of our feet and goes throughout our entire body, and it helps move fluid. And that fluid is called lymphatic fluid. And they move through what's called lymph vessels, which lymph vessels run parallel to veins throughout your whole body, right? Mm-hmm. But a lymph vessel is much smaller than a vein. A vein's like the size of a pasta noodle, like a spaghetti, spaghetti, right? Yep. But a lymph vessel is like the size of a hair follicle. Like, that's how much smaller it is. And it's in charge of moving all this fluid. So if that system in any part of your body gets compromised, whether through a surgical intervention or you were born with it, but most commonly in cancer patients where they remove lymph nodes, or if a woman has a mastectomy, what happens when the lymphatic system is compromised and those areas, which is typically like on an arm or a leg, but it really can be anywhere over your body, but it's most common in extremities. What happens to those extremities is they start to swell uncontrollably, right? Because the fluid is going backwards versus going upstream the way that it's supposed to go. So then it starts to just really, really get hard and tingly and painful and can be obviously very debilitating, especially if you have it in both of your legs or even just one of your legs. There's no cure for it. And it's actually progressive in nature. So if you just decide not to do anything about it, just like if you have diabetes or with any other, you know, condition that requires, you know, pretty daily maintenance, it can kill you because of because of infection. So there's just two types of lymphedema. There's primary, which is the one you're born with, right? And that's what I have. And then there's secondary, which is the more common one, like with the breast cancer example I gave, right? Yeah. Removing lymph nodes or doing chemo radiation, or even if you have any type of orthopedic surgery, like if you get a knee replacement and the doctors cut too deep, or the incision sewn up improperly, that can also result in lymphedema. But bottom line, I did actually tell Hannah about it in depth, but in that episode, they edited out the word lymphedema altogether. So even like you mentioned on the Bachelor in Paradise reunion, when I had a shirt made that said, I have lymphedema, Google it. Yeah. They blurted it out at the live taping, or edited out anytime I talked about it on Paradise with a couple people.
So weird. Yeah, it's weird to me, like the stuff that they'll let people talk about and the stuff that they air, and then they won't air stuff like that. You're like, who's deciding? Like, who is the one that's like, no, that's off limits. That's not. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
It's classic, like Shakespearean plays. Like, they have to have a villain, they have to have a good guy, you know, the damsel in distress or the knight in shining armor. Like, they put us on these such high pedestals that everyone is playing a role. It's like a game of chess, and these producers know how to, you know, who's got the next move. Okay.
Everyone has to be a character of some kind, and it's hard to stray away from what you're defined as by your edit or whatever it is.
So what would you say your edit is? Who is Sydney from
I was a supporting role to anyone that was like the star of the show. Like, I was the friend that you see in the movie. Like, I'm the sidekick. That's what my role was. I was the one that you turned to like get the summary of what's happening in the week. And then just provide like the sounding board for the person going through the dramatic thing or the romantic thing. That's what my role was on the show, which was great.
Yeah, but you weren't having any of your like favorite TV show hosts roasting you with clips and getting anything like that. You
know,
when you get a very defined edit, like a villain or a desperate guy like I was, it's interesting seeing it portrayed that way. But, you know,
even though I wasn't shown much, I'm grateful that I didn't go through that experience, because I don't think I would be able to handle it. I don't think I was as strong as some people were to take that kind of social ridicule. But, you know, we're each dealt different hands. The only thing I wish differently from the experience is I went through it like with like such high hopes and like was so open. And then I just.
Same.
Yeah. That's really the only thing I felt like a little bit robbed of, was like feeling something.
You know what it feels like? here for me, and I bet you can relate to this feeling too.
Yeah.
When you go through that experience with these initial, like, sincere high hopes that, you know, it can happen for me, but naive, like I was saying, are these naive little young children who did not know. When we feel that, like, I feel like you felt it, go into it and you experience, and it's just not that. It's like when your parents tell you that the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus isn't real. It's like you lose all the magic. I feel like that ruined love for me, like that kind of romantic Hollywood kind of love that, you know, you all kind of envision when you're a little kid. So
absolutely.
But now, honestly, though, again, and you alluded to this earlier, we've all grown from this so much. And it's such a unique experience that I feel, I know it was all part of God's divine plan for me.
I think you're definitely seeing those effects now too. Did anyone reach out, I'm wondering, and apologize after they've seen your lymphedema has progressed and seeing that it is a real thing and that you're really went through something challenging? Did anyone reach out?
You hit the nail on the coffin there with, you know, saying that's a real thing, because it literally took me having to get an amputation for people to take this disease seriously. And that's the sad part.
Yeah.
But you know what though? Maybe that had to be the disruptor to get people to listen.
Yeah.
Because that's what this world is all about. It's like, what can you do to get someone's attention? Attention is the most valuable commodity there is, right? Mm-hmm. Like even this, we're doing a podcast, we're having a conversation, we want people to listen, right? So it really is such a learning experience, like you're saying. I guess now, what's next? I'm sure you had that same thought too, like, what's next?
All the time.
And fortunately for me, to like kind of answer your question, that's kind of how I got into the lymphedema world, was being at that rock bottom and someone from the community reaching out to me and just showing me so much love. And that's when I met Kathy Bates at the conference in Dallas, and she has lymphedema too. That was the night that I was basically like invited officially to like join the cause. So at that point, I said, you know what? My life couldn't get worse than the bad edit that I felt and some of the shame I felt. But now I can go inspire people who this is real life stuff. It's a serious condition, and whatever we got to do to get the word out. But I'm not saying that I intentionally got the amputation as a publicity stunt. Hey, listen up, everybody. But
Take me seriously. I don't
know. Yeah, right. In terms of people reaching out to me, the one that everyone wants to know about is either Mike Johnson or Hannah.
Yeah.
So I'd say 3 days after my amputation, I did the podcast with Tia and Natasha, the clickbait one. Yeah, that's what it's, clickbait, right?
Yep.
And so they had all asked, hey, has anyone from your season reached out to you? And I basically said at that point, no one from my season of The Bachelor, because there's people from Paradise who reached out to me. And that following day, People magazine did a write-up of that, basically calling her out. But you know, I get it. She's living her life. And I was one of 30 guys, and I was there, let's face it, for like 2 weeks. So I didn't feel she had to do anything special, but she did write me a very long and thoughtful DM on Instagram. And it was beautiful. It was uplifting. There was ownership taken. There was understanding. And then there was positive vibes. So Hannah, if you listen to this, whatever, thank you. I accept your apology. I apologize to you. God is good. We are good. Love you. So that's that on Hannah.
ABC, no producers, anyone, apologize.
See, I'm also triggered now because, like, when people say ABC, I thought they're talking
ABC
about me.
Sorry, I won't bring that one up. Yeah.
No one from the network, but one producer who I love, but I won't name her. She sent flowers and a very nice note when I was recovering in the hospital. So that's my involvement from, I guess, the network, if you will.
Not all bad.
The overall entertainment media has been amazing. And even Bachelor Nation, like, the fans and stuff have been so amazing. So I'm just really blessed to be where I'm at now. And a lot of you would be thinking, how the heck are you feeling that gracious when you just lost your leg and your life is dramatically transformed within a 2 week period? Again, it's having the mindset of having what I call faith over fear, right? If I stay afraid or stay down, it's like quicksand. Once you get in that headspace, you lose the ability and you lose the energy to fight it, and you just sink and you're done, right? Yeah. Regardless of my circumstance, I know there's always a silver lining. I know that God wouldn't give me anything that he knew I wouldn't persevere through. So
absolutely,
it's just a new challenge. Bring it on. And I encourage that for anybody. Like, maybe you're having issues with your mental health. Maybe you're just feeling alone because you don't have friends or XYZ. You know, we all have our things that we feel insecure and incomplete about. But, you know, again, stay positive, best you can.
Has it changed your view on social media now that you have a platform that you can stand on that's not just like, I want on an ABC show? Do you have like this new view of it, or is it the same? Like, how do you view social media now?
Unless you know how to handle the trolls, unless you know how to sort what a good partnership is versus a bad partnership with, or what to say when there's, you know, something going on in our society. Do you want to voice your political opinions, your religious opinions, all those things that are thrown at you, and you're just trying to find your sense of normalcy. It is a process. It took me, again, getting rock bottom to then conquer that fear. I can now approach social media with a way, knowing that, like you said, it is a platform for good. And I've had some amazing stories that just bring me to tears about pediatric lymphedema patients, about pediatric amputees, and just all of the people who are grateful for me just talking about it. Getting comments like that tenfold outweighs those negative trolls that are just saying stupid shit, let's be honest. It's almost kind of like finding diamonds in the rough. That's all it is. I'm trying to just live as noble of a life as I can, but still be pure and still be me, but try to be as positive as an influence to medical communities. Like I said, the lymphedema patients and the amputee patients. So I do have that responsibility and that honor to do that, honestly. So that's why I don't take it lightly.
I know you've mentioned before that until now, you didn't necessarily have like passion behind your work. Does it feel different now to have this like passion and this thing that you are a part of? Or is that overwhelming to you too? Because there is pressure with that kind of responsibility. Like, where are you at with that mentally?
The thing that can be the challenge that you don't know up front when you're just kind of naive and like, I'm going to save the world. I'm going to get all lymphedema patients on my side, and I'm going to rise up and we're going to make change in government and the medical system. And, you know, it's going to be like a Disney movie ending, right?
Yeah, totally.
The reality is at times it can be pretty exhausting when you're constantly fighting for something that you have while dealing with it and like now having some very serious lifestyle changes because of it, but then having to still keep my cool to a certain extent and counsel these people or listen to their stories and be brave for them and be a sounding board for them, be someone who can give them the information and resources they need. At that point, it's like, well, who else is camp? Like, are you just lymphedema? Is that who defined you because it's your work and it's what you have? So I'm also now setting boundaries. I'm starting to find that balance more. And that's so freaking funny that I'm saying that, because literally now on a leg,
you are
find a new balance.
Yeah,
so, sure.
You're actively going through it. I mean, you just recently had the surgery. It's not been that long. Like, I'm sure you're still recovering and going through all these things while you're trying to
two and a half weeks. I'm only 2.5 weeks out.
Incredible.
When you're up in those wee hours of the evening, like, again, whether it's up because of pain or anxiety, what have you, and you're on your phone, when I'm looking through a DM and I see that it's the mother of a child who lives in South Africa or who lives in Italy, like, you name the country or continent, but having that reach and being able to just listen to their stories, like, that's a beautiful honor to just for them to be vulnerable to literally a complete stranger. Like, these people are pouring their hearts out, and it's so humbling to be in a position to have their trust to a certain extent where they feel comfortable sharing that. Some of them I'm able to help, whether it's just saying, you know, hey, that's normal, I've been through that too. Or some of them it's literally making recommendations to a physician that's maybe in the town or the country over that they never knew about. Right. So it's a lot of dot connecting, but overall it's just, again, gratitude and trying to be, you know, leading up a space of encouragement and inspiration. Very blessed, but it can be exhausting though too, because when you're having those sleepless nights, you should be winding down, but that almost gives me a second wind. So
yeah. What is that recovery process like? You prep, because you voluntarily got the surgery, if I'm correct.
Classified as elective, but once they did more imaging, they're like, oh, this is not just elective, this is medically necessary. So at that point, it was affirmed, right? Because when it's elective, it kind of gives the implication that, oh, well, the patient decided he or she just wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Or maybe the doctor just decided. But when they get the actual imaging and there can be consensus that, well, maybe at first it was someone wanted it, which was me, because I didn't want to do another knee replacement surgery. We got the imaging evidence that, yeah, it was medically necessary. So that changes a little bit, but keep going. I'm sorry to interrupt.
So with you getting the amputation, is it like once you're healed or you're, it's not a cured disease. So what happens now? Like,
correct.
What's the process after that? I'm just interested in how that works.
I'm gonna hike up a little bit. So
yeah,
they
did a very beautiful job closing you up.
They did. Yeah. At one point when the stitches are in, it looked like a football, especially when I like turned it on that angle, you know, just because they removed from the knee down doesn't mean that the lymphedema that I already have, like up here, like up to my waist, goes away. So I got a lot of questions from lymphedema patients when they saw that I got the surgery, and their first natural reaction, which I get, is like, oh, they cut the lymphedema out of you. You're like cured, almost like, you know, surgically removing a cancerous tumor, for example. Right. Mm-hmm. But the truth of the matter is that we already know from doing advanced imaging that I do have issues there, like up to my hip and into my lower abdomen region. There's some like backflow going on there with my lymphatic system that I was born with. Mm-hmm. So we don't know, the doctors don't know what the short or long-term implications are. So we're kind of just following regular protocols. I'm eating pretty healthy, drinking a lot of water. And I get my compression shrinker on Monday, mm-hmm. which the reason why they do that is they basically want to get the swelling down as much as they can so that they mm-hmm. can then make that cast mold, which is basically the thing that you put your leg in for the mm-hmm. prosthetic leg. Cause I'm getting mm-hmm. one of those robotic ones.
Oh, so basically
it's really cool. So I'll stick my leg like in there.
Wow.
It's got a little suction that keeps it in place. Uh-huh. And I just start walking. The walks can look actually very, very normal because these prosthetics have gotten so sophisticated. There's literally a robotic knee joint that has like these sensors and hydraulics in it. And it senses your walking gait based on your weight and your patterns. And it's just absolutely fascinating.
Incredible. What is next for you? You are working for this nonprofit. You are quickly becoming the face of lymphedema survivors, I guess. I don't know if there's a better term for that, but what's next? Well, like, what do you
call it? We call it Thriver because survivor implies that like it's over, you like beat the battle, but lymphedema, because there's no cure.
Yeah.
It's that you have to be a thriver with it, right? You mm-hmm. can't beat it, unfortunately, because there's not a cure yet. So, that would be the choice.
What is next for you? What do you hope is next for you as you continue to navigate lymphedema?
We didn't really talk about this earlier on, but 2 months ago, so really around the time when I found out that I was going to get the amputation. So I had basically a 2.5 month period to essentially try to get in the best shape of my life. I knew that my leg was going to be gone and that knee joint was so bad anyway, I couldn't do running. I haven't been able to run in over 6 years, I believe. Wow. Yeah, mm-hmm. over 6 years because the knee has just been shot every time. So I did as much upper body preparation as I could to get ready for the surgery. I even talked with other amputees ahead of time just to kind of sense what it was going to be like. What really came to me, and I'm going to call it a divine intervention, this idea just came in my head to document the whole journey. And I reached out to a friend of mine who owned a production company and got a quote from him, kind of gave him the general idea of what I was thinking the piece could be. And then it dawned on me that I could reach out to my production team at my church because the executive producer there used to be the producer at the Oprah show. So he's very qualified.
Yeah, our love camera, that show.
Our camera crew has all the top-notch like 4K or whatever the resolution cameras. So it's like great stuff. And I know they wouldn't want to do me bad in an edit, right? So I could trust them. So I pitched the idea to them of doing a documentary about the journey that I'm going through. And they said, absolutely. So we started filming about a month and a half ago, capturing all the pre-surgery content. And that was pretty hard just because that was like kind of giving everyone the background story of what my leg had been through all the years and talking with my family and talking with my pastor and even getting to the hospital, you know, that morning of the surgery to literally the day after surgery, being there. For the first time, I looked down at my leg being gone. With or without the cameras, the whole journey that I'm going through right now is so real. Some people would say, I would not trade place for you in a minute. But knowing that there's something much more beautiful on the horizon, and that's the hope that I cling on to, it makes going through this so much easier.
I mean, it seems like you're in this season of like, there's so much more to come. Like this is only the beginning.
Honestly, that's why I'm drawing such a blank on some of these questions because my mind's just going. I'm like, what's next? What day is it? So we are capturing the documentary and we don't know how it's going to end. Right. Cause we're like literally living it right now. And I can hope for something triumphant, but you can't script a documentary. Right. So we're just kind of along for the ride and, I'm very excited. So my big milestone, because you asked kind of like what the recovery timeline looks like. So hopefully by the time the residual limb is shrunk down from the garments and I get the thing cast and molded, that whole process takes about a month and a half. If everything goes perfectly well, getting the actual prosthetic leg, the best case scenario would be if I got it in like mid-September, because on September 19th through the 23rd, I'm going to be up in Denver, Colorado. Visiting some friends there and meeting a couple of amputees who kind of helped me through the process before I even had the surgery. So they already like welcomed me into the community before I was there. So really excited to meet them in person and break bread. But I'm most excited to go to the Lauren Daigle concert at Red Rocks. She's performing at Red Rocks. And I've never been to Red Rocks. So it's my first time at that venue. And I get to do the old meet and greet with her. So that's awesome. So really excited for that.
That's incredible. Well, it's really exciting to see that your time on TV or in film and your story wasn't cut short just from being on The Bachelor. Like, it's really nice to see that it continues to go on and that you are absolutely helping people and that you're making such huge impact, even though when you had that first chance to, they somewhat silenced you. It's nice to see that you're still getting your chance to like really share everything.
But, you know, I think that that silencing and all the, you know, editing and censoring, whatever you want to call it, and them doing that, it's almost kind of like what created a whole new storyline for me, because that's what I'm living. It's like, hey, it's more so for them to have accountability. Like, guys, look, I told y'all about this. You made it light. This seriously happened. And, you know, just learn from it. That's all I hope. I don't even expect him to do a public apology to me, to be honest, because I doubt that's going to happen. I'm so far removed from where they're at the current moment. It's all about the current season and the next season. We're all dust in the wind, if you will.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it happens, cool. If it doesn't, I'm still peachy. It's all good.
I love it. It's a great attitude to have. One thing before I give you my final questions, anyone that's going through something like similar to this or just like a trying time, like what would you recommend to them to lean on the most?
Yeah. If you're in a position like Sydney was saying about, you know, there's something on the horizon that's going to be life altering. Like maybe you have a cancer diagnosis or maybe you already have a disease or a condition that's debilitating and chronic in nature where science will tell you that it doesn't look good or your odds aren't great. What I was told at a very young age, in high school from one of my basketball coaches, he said, in life, there's only two things you can control: your attitude and your effort. Even when you're dealt a crappy hand, like lymphedema, like an amputation, like cancer, XYZ, fill in the blank, the first initial natural reaction typically is why me, or F you, if you're bitter towards a divine power or a loved one or someone else you're blaming for it happening. But in my infinite wisdom, I would say, well, not infinite wisdom, I'll just say old man wisdom, having gone through 17 surgeries now, is that feel all of the feelings. That is, it is natural. It is healthy. Do not suppress anything. Therapy works if you put the work in. And there's so many different types of therapy. Music is a therapy. Working out is a therapy. Going to church is a therapy. Hobbies, whatever you want to do. There's even clinics that do ketamine infusion therapies. I mean, there's so many avenues for you to help yourself when you're about to endure something life-changing. And I embraced all of those, but most importantly, that's when I grew my relationship with God. And I continue to have that as my compass, my North Star, and my purpose. So I just want everyone to know that even if you, again, are dealt a bad hand, there is a beautiful purpose in it, that if you're just patient and you're faithful, he will always deliver. And that's what I'm living on. And he already has delivered, right? We're having this conversation. Like, I'm so blessed that we're doing this. We have the technology to do this. It's so crazy, the world that we're in now. And I think at times we take it for granted that we have this endless amount of opportunities just to reconnect with old friends. And that's, again, those are those positive moments that I live for.
It's all about what you focus on. I love it. All right. I'm going to ask you two final questions. With what you're doing with your time online or whatever it is, what do you want to be known for? What do you want people to take away from what it is that you're doing, what it is that you're presenting to the world?
Obviously, I want them to know I'm a believer, but I want them to think I am an approachable believer. I think that's the biggest thing you have to lead with, because I'm not going to be extremely, again, evangelical if I have a Muslim friend or a Jewish friend or a transgender friend or however they identify or whatever they are. Mm-hmm. Because again, I want to lead with love and gratitude, just like Jesus teaches us to. So I want them again to see me as an approachable believer. And I want them to see me as someone who will hear their pain, but provide encouragement. Because I think that's one thing that a lot of people who go in pain are, they think it's, especially chronic pain, they think it's never going to end, because that's how we live in our head. That's the reality for a lot of these conditions like MS and like lymphedema. Mm-hmm. But trying to give even just a mustard seed or a speckle of hope and plant it in that person, you just never know what it could lead to down the road. And just, again, having that headspace anytime I do a post or write a comment or however I'm engaging or consuming the content, that's what I hope it becomes, is just a source of inspiration and hope and positivity. I know that sounds kind of hippie, but that's just really how I legitimately feel about the lymphedema and amputation community.
I love that. Last question. Any last leaving thought or piece of advice? It could be about lymphedema, but it could be about literally anything. Just any last thought.
First off, thank you so much. I've had a lot of fun catching up with you, and I hope everything airs as is.
Oh, well.
Some good stuff.
It will, don't worry.
But my parting words, gosh, that's hard. Cause like some people just give like a one liner drop off, or some go on the whole nother 30-minute ramble. I'm not going to do that. Know that there's purpose in your pain. And again, the pain could be anything. And I think we're all feeling some level of pain in this time. If you're not, then you're not aware of what's going on all over the world. I'm not even calling out social justice shit here or whatever's going on over there. We live in a very chaotic time right now. Yeah. And when you acknowledge that, it's easy to stay in the negative headspace. But again, what I believe is in those seasons or moments of pain, there is a greater purpose in it. And when you seek, again, you have to seek, you have to put the work in and do the research. Again, so that's me working out before my amputation. That's me consulting with other patients, for example. When you have the tenacity to go after whatever it requires to make yourself stable or better, just stay with it, because that is the other side of pain, is the glory. So again, fight through the pain, you'll find the glory.
Beautiful. Kim, you're very good at this. I know there's like a lot that went into this, but there was definitely a greater plan, and you are such a good speaker. And I know there's so much more to come from all of the things that you're doing. So keep doing it. You're very gifted.
Oh my gosh. No, thank you so much.
Kim, where can everyone find you, follow you, continue to follow your journey and everything like that?
I am typically on Instagram, because if I post Instagram, I'll share it to Facebook if you're a Facebooker. So on Instagram, my handle is Cam, C-A-M, Ron, R-O-N, and then my last name, Ayala, A-Y-A-L-A, all one word, Cameron Ayala. And if you want to get more information about lymphedema or any other lymphatic disease, the best website you can go to for that is www.lymphaticnetwork.org. And lymphatic is spelled L-Y-M-P-H-A-T-I-C.
Thank you so much. This was wonderful. I really appreciate your time. It was great to catch up with you. We'll keep in touch.
Hey, and congratulations to you. We didn't even need to talk about that.
I know.
So we need to do a part two all about
we
you.
We do.
I'm so happy. Like, honestly, A, you were always super kind to me, and we never had any beef, and everything was all love. I just love it when I see people who go through what we went through, like just who go through the experience in general, and like actually find love and get married to someone outside of Bachelor Nation. Like, that's awesome. You seem really happy.
I am very happy. And it's weird that we actually met because of the show, because he watched the show. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. Married and we met.
Fanboy.
Yeah. I'm that's awesome. Fanboy. Yeah. It's so
that's
weird.
Funny. That's the beauty in it all, right?
It all worked out. And I'm excited to see who the lucky lady is going to be for you. I feel like she's around the corner. We'll see.
Lauren Daigle.
Shout out. We'll tag her.
I manifested it. So it's there. I've done that on a couple of these podcasts. So hopefully she catches word. But hey, honestly, it's been awesome catching up with you. And let's stay in touch. And
absolutely.
Peace and blessing to you.
You too. Bye, Cam.
All right,
good to see
ya.
That is it for me today, you guys. Thank you so much for being here and for listening. Before you go, make sure that you rate, review, and follow, as well as subscribe, so you never miss an episode. And one thing you can share in the meantime, this podcast, obviously. Send it to a friend who needs some inspiration, or give us some love on social media and tag us at Something to Share Podcast on Instagram. And I'll see you next Wednesday.